Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Always wanted to hear the real deal when it comes to fitness, health, nutrition, and physical well-being? This is Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha Makia. What's cracking, what's really good? They don't pull any punches. You'll only get the truth about how you get healthier, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And now, here's Tasha Makia and Big Dave.
We asked the listeners, if there's something you ever want to talk about, be sure to email us. And Whitney did. Big shout out to our girl, Whitney.
What up, Whitney?
Whitney says, hey, Tasha Makia. Hey, Dave. I'm 33 years old. I'm a 33-year-old female, and I weigh only about 106. It's hard for me to gain weight now due to my endometriosis, but there has got to be a way because it's depressing. I need help. I have a nice shape, but the weight will not stay. Wow. Big shout out to Whitney for even sending us this email.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do. This hits home for me in the sense of I deal with a very close loved one that has endometriosis, was diagnosed a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely is something that a lot of women, believe it or not, deal with. And a lot of women don't even know they have it.
Well,
and what happens is it's a tissue disorder that basically... the tissue lines the uterus for women, and obviously women only have this, and the tissue grows outside of the uterus. So what that means is the tissue is supposed to obviously stay contained in the walls of the uterus, and then what happens is that it grows outside of the uterus, which causes a lot of inflammation, a lot of problems.
Mm.
The side effects of that happening, and I can relate to this, of course, very much, is... very bad pain. It's almost like a period that's times 100. Girls, obviously, you can relate.
Oh,
Tosh,
my gosh.
I'm sure you've been in this position before.
Yeah.
So it's a very uncomfortable situation and disease. It is a disease.
Yeah.
And more women are being diagnosed with it literally daily than you could believe, because a lot of women won't go to the OBGYN. They won't go to their doctors because they think
checkups.
It's something that's going to be passed because it's just a bad, uncomfortable period.
Yeah.
But then they come to find out that they actually do have this. And it can cause a lot of tumors. It can cause a lot of cysts.
Mm.
And again, for the women out there that we're talking to right now, and the men that are listening, because if your girlfriend or wife and you're dealing with a lot of serious problems, because you know it'll drop a woman on their knees from the pain, and especially if the cysts break, which I'm sure some people you know we're speaking to, I've had ovarian cysts or cervical cysts and things like that. So I have a really good knowledge of it just because I've dealt with it quite a bit. So it's not a fun thing. It is definitely treatable. There's different procedures they do to treat it.
Like surgeries?
Well, there is surgery that is done depending on the severity of the endometriosis and how early on it was caught. There's a lot of the times, a lot of your OBGYNs will use birth control preventatives to help with the progesterone and the hormonal aspect to control your periods and things like that to make sure that the endometriosis kind of doesn't flare up. Because it can actually lay dormant and then it flares up.
Yeah.
And so it's really it's a very, very secret kind of disease because it will be dormant and you won't know. And then all of a sudden you'll have the worst period known to man. And that's, of course, that's this kind of the side effect from the endometriosis. And then, believe it or not, sometimes what will end up happening is, like we talked about before, you can get cysts, you can get bleeding, you can get such bad, bad abdominal pain. And again, you know, it's one of those things that you think that it's just attributed to the period.
No.
But it's not.
But you should go get checked.
You definitely should go get checked.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I know exactly what it is, because I don't. Now I definitely want to make sure I go and get checked because we just never know. But is this something that, you know, with the loved one that you have in your life, does it last longer than a normal period?
Yeah, it does. Because what happens is so usually when a woman will get endometriosis or diagnosed, it's something that they've had for quite a while.
And they didn't know. Okay.
And because again, you know, the pain, the side effects, the spotting, the bleeding and all that kind of stuff.
Seems normal.
From a period is normal. But when it becomes such an unbearable pain, whereas some women get very, very more serious periods than others, it's very hard to distinguish what is period and what is not.
Yeah.
And again, guys, you know, I want you to be able to listen to this topic because it is a very serious topic. It is a very big topic than more people think it is because there's more diagnosed cases in the last like 5 years than ever.
Yeah.
Because people are starting to realize, oh my God, you know, I've had, you know, I started getting periods between, you know, the ages of what, 12 and 15.
Right.
Some girls honestly get it very early. And I have some girl clients that I've trained that they've gotten periods early as 10.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, sometimes moms will, or OBGYNs will put their kids on birth control that young just to help control the flow. My mom did that with me. Yeah, so it's not uncommon, but the problem is that a woman that has these side effects, again, they kind of go unnoticed because they feel that it's just part of the everyday period or every month cycle.
Okay.
And that being said, you know, they kind of disregard it, but then it gets to the point where sometimes a cyst will form. And, you know, again, I speak from firsthand knowledge with this.
Yeah.
This is not something you want to mess with, and your quality of life is completely affected because you literally aren't intimate. You're not feeling yourself. Your hormones are out of whack.
Mm.
So if you're feeling these symptoms and you're noticing the abdominal wall pain, you know, your period's lasting a lot longer than it normally should. You're bleeding more heavily than you normally would. You're just feeling blah. You're not motivated. Your appetite is up and down. Let me tell you something, guys.
That could be
usually it is something like that. And anytime something like that happens in that region for a female, you definitely want to go get checked and don't mess with that. So, you know, hopefully this gives you guys a little bit of insight because again, don't be embarrassed or anything like that because again, guys, and I speak from a guy's point of view and I'm reaching out to my guys out there and girls that are with their wives or girlfriends or anything like that. Don't let it go unnoticed. Push that person to go see someone.
Especially
because,
if you notice a change.
Like I said, it's something that is very treatable in a very easy way that makes a world of difference in the quality of life.
Do you think if you catch it earlier, it's easier?
You know, I really don't know that answer because I think it really depends on the person's severity and how bad they feel. But again, there are so many different things that they can do now that they're catching on to this. And there's a lot of drugs out there that are very non-invasive that can help this situation that can make someone's quality of life change within a matter of days.
So with someone with endometriosis. Thank you very much. Is there a difference in their iron in their body?
You know, I don't know that. That's a great question. I don't know if it affects a female's aspect of how their vitamin mineral content would be.
Yeah.
And that's a great question because maybe their lack of vitamin D or usually some women are very iron deficient and things like that. So, you know, they could be anemic with their blood aspect.
Right.
But again, a normal doctor physician should be able to know the symptomatic issues that go with the endometriosis, especially if a period is becoming that heavy of a flow
and it's
getting progressively worse
and the
time frame because, I mean, honestly, not to go into graphic detail here, but I'm glad we're talking about this because it's very
important. Let's do it.
You know, a normal period is what? Maybe, you know, 7 to 10 days for
minus
a normal woman. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, maybe 4 to 10 days depending on the woman.
When I was younger, it was like seven to ten sometimes.
So now, I mean, with the endometriosis, you'll start noticing spotting and stuff like that a couple days even before that and definitely way after that. So it is something that basically is not normal.
Right.
And from a sexual intercourse aspect, it's very uncomfortable for most women.
Yeah.
And then they don't realize why. And then their partner is just like, what's going on? You know, is it me? Is it them? So there's a lot of factors that definitely play into it. And then, of course, that affects the brain and the mind because you're just very uncomfortable and you don't know what's going on. So please, everyone out there, definitely, if you feel anything awkward or weird, just go ask and go check. And hell, it's better to go find out than not. You know, and that's something, like I said, the regular physician should be able to know, and or a good OBGYN will be able to diagnose literally right off the top,
especially
with symptoms that you're discussing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you really know that your period is a whole different way than it was before or was a few years ago, that's definitely something to go and like get checked. But I noticed that you said with endometriosis, your eating is different. So in the case with Whitney, you know, she's 106 pounds. She can't gain weight. And she feels her endometriosis is a main factor of
that. It definitely can be. And to be honest with you, you know, it's not something that's uncommon. And so
that
being
said,
for I think, you know, it's weird because most of the time when women can't gain weight, it's a metabolism issue or a hormonal imbalance.
Right.
And with the endometriosis, that would be the case. It's definitely a hormonal imbalance. Obviously, there's a lot more questions that I'd want to know with Whitney just so I could kind of get a better synopsis of what we're dealing with from a caloric standpoint and what she's done before and stuff like that. But honestly, for Whitney, and again, shout out to Whitney for being so candid with us and talking
about
this.
You
know,
hopefully
we're touching base with you and just know that you're not alone. And and it's a bigger factor for women than we're really seeing. And and now that people are getting diagnosed, it is an easy fixable issue as long as it's treated and people know. And so for Whitney's standpoint, you know, I want to know how much she's eating. You know, is she having a problem digesting food? Is she having a problem digesting like milk products and or lactose from a bloating standpoint, things like that. But Whitney, I'm going to get on this personally and it's
we're
my pleasure to
back,
do.
For
and
sure.
We're going to email you back because there's a couple questions I'd like to get figured out from you just so I can get a little bit better idea of what I'm dealing with from a background standpoint so I can really put this together for you. But I am more than happy to take this on myself because Whitney, we would like to do, if it's cool with you, is I would like to get your feedback so we can share this on the show and really get to know you in a standpoint of what you've come from and what we're going to get you to. And if that's okay with you, I would love to share that. And I can't thank you enough for being so candid with us and open with us because it's not easy. It's a very serious topic and it does affect women psychologically because they don't know what the hell's going on. And then their boyfriends or girlfriends are trying to help and it's not something that they can explain. They just double it over in pain. You're like, what can I do for you? And it's not something Advil can really touch. It's not something a painkiller can touch.
Oh my gosh.
It is something that really has to kind of take
its course.
It's a whole
different level.
And it really does drop women on their knees in a sense because it's just so uncomfortable. And of course, there's different levels of severity of it, you know, but at the end of the day, it's still the same disease. And it's a disease that just doesn't go away either. It's not something that, you know, once it's treated, it's like, oh, it's gone. You know, it's just more of the severity.
You're just
kind of
like taking care of it to maintain.
And, you know, you can still have kids when you have it. And, you know, again, it's definitely treatable with the right people that are involved. And, you know, so like I said, guys, be diligent, be aware. And also, you know, not to get too graphic and stuff like that, but while you're there, make sure you get your breast exam and make sure you check that out too.
No,
because
you're not being too
at the
graphic.
End of the day, guys, you know, you got to be preventing these problems. And there's so many preventatives out there now. People just get lazy and they get stupid and they don't want to go do it.
Everything's
then
tomorrow.
Later, and this is not something you want to wait till tomorrow, guys. You know, I was telling Tasha's story about a month ago, and it's funny because I had a friend of mine that went snowmobiling. Remember that story I told you guys? He went snowmobiling up in the mountains, and I've snowmobiled a couple times. And I think it's so much fun. But the problem was that he was snowmobiling. He's never been up in the mountains before. They took him on this snowmobile. He fell off and broke his leg. So they rushed him over to the hospital up in Vail, and while they were doing the exam and while they were doing his MRI or CAT scan on his leg, they found a huge mass. And it was cancer.
Tell them the story,
And what's funny is that had he not broken his leg,
that day,
he would never have known he had a mass and a tumor that literally was spreading within his whole body. And
that
this gentleman has kids, he has a wife. So, I mean, he has a lot of things that are relying on him. But had he not done that, he would have never known because he felt fine.
And God knows what would have happened.
He felt fine. And the doctors literally told him, had you not come in today and we didn't do surgery literally within a day or two, not only on his leg, but to help clean out and start
everything.
Him on treatment, he'd have been dead in 90 days.
That's crazy.
And it's just like, so guys, trust me, I am the biggest procrastinator in the world. Shout out to someone that's listening that knows that I am a procrastinator. I call myself out. But at the end of the day, real talk, it's like, you know, you can't wait for these things.
No,
and,
you really,
and Wendy,
really can't.
Or Whitney, I'm sorry.
Whitney.
I'm thinking of Wendy's because of Lewis, our Frosty boy. But Whitney, real talk, thank you so much. And
yeah, we're
going to
be
get
in
on
touch.
This. We'll be in touch. We're going to get some info on you, and I will get on this personally, and we'll make this happen for you.
And then the cool thing is we'll just recap it on the next episode so that those that are listening now can get some more information for that. So we did get another email from Jocelyn. I cannot pronounce your last name. T-R-U.
Can't be any worse than mine.
Listen, yours is a sneeze. But let me shut up because my first name is pretty long too. So, Tasha McGill.
Yeah, well, clearly you don't get my emails that I send because I send them wrong.
First of all, okay, so Big D knows I'm going away with my kids and he sent me this awesome clear pass. And I didn't know that was your freaking email, your personal email.
I have an email.
I didn't know that was it though.
I do technology.
Like Big Dave,
I have technology.
At Gmail. Who knows? You know what I mean? But Jocelyn, T R U J I L L O, from Tucson, Arizona.
Teresa Blizzard to Jula.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to Tucson on Wednesday.
Well, there's
shout out to Jocelyn. Jocelyn, I'm gonna be at VASA and at LA Fitness Training.
You should go on out.
You need to hook it up. Call me up. Let's roll.
That'll be so dope. So she has two questions. She said, number one, Big Dave, what questions should I ask a personal trainer? Well, I'm sorry. What questions should a good personal trainer ask their clients when signing up? I feel like I'm not getting the one that I need. Wow.
What is a good question for a client to ask a personal trainer?
No. What questions should a good personal trainer ask you when they're bringing you in? She feels like she's not connecting
so
with
their
trainer.
So the trainer should ask the client.
Yeah.
Honestly, that is a really good question. And the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to relate to my own personal situations with my clientele. I am very, very particular on who I train.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I want a certain type of individual to fit into not only my group that I have, mm-hmm. but to fit in with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I think it's definitely got to be a matching personalities. Now, granted, you don't have to agree with everything.
Right.
And you
need
don't
somebody
have to
push you.
Right. But because at the end of the day, our job is to push you to get over barriers and get over, you know, personal issues and things like that. But there's got to be that personal relationship.
Yeah.
And
to connect.
And it's a very interesting question we're talking about.
Yeah.
But my point is you have to have that relationship with that client.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, it does go in and out of the gym because
that's
I am
true.
Very close with my clients.
Yeah.
So that being said, you know, but there's also a line that a trainer shouldn't cross either.
Right.
And it's a respect issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I think that, you know, when you sit down and talk to the client or the client talks to the trainer, there should be a kind of a, like, honestly, like a mutual kind of like discussion that just takes place, and it should just flow. It shouldn't be awkward. It shouldn't be weird. You guys should be able to kick it and joke and have fun with it, but then you respect him as your trainer to push you, and you don't take it so personal.
Exactly.
And then they respect you as a client to have fun and be jovial and be subjected to
mm-hmm.
what you're going to do. But there's got to be that trust there.
Yeah,
there's
got to be
that personal relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, just when you just first meet a client, you know, you never want to just train with a trainer, guys. So as a client, you know, do your research. Ask him questions.
Yep.
And if a trainer is apprehensive to sit down with you for 15, 20 minutes out of their day or
text you,
then they're not the one.
No.
Him or she is not the one.
Right.
Because they should be able to be forthcoming and answer any questions you have and any sort of personal questions that you have for them. There shouldn't be any issue answering
right.
them. And so
yeah.
I think that's the first and foremost thing that I would
mm-hmm.
do is, you know, put a list together of questions that you have. Like, you know, what are their rates? You know, what is their frequency? You know, how long have they been doing this? Have they worked with specific individuals on injuries or your type of training that you're looking
big
to do
changes,
sure
yeah.
like you know do they do a lot of competitive training
that's
in
the, true
in like bodybuilding or fitness or bikini
yeah.
or is it just like weights and hip systems and CrossFit or things like that? So there's a lot of things
yeah.
that you want to ask, and you know, you may realize by the third, fourth question, it's like, you know, I like this person, but
it's just
don't fit my mold,
right?
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. And,
yeah.
and you know, so I think that's the best way to go about it, and you know, form some questions, talk to them, and you'll get a vibe from them. And unfortunately, there are a lot of trainers out there with chips on their shoulders thinking they know everything.
Oh,
you definitely
God,
don't
or
want a trainer like
egos.
That. You want to have a trainer that's kind of like an open sponge or willing to listen to you.
Yeah.
You're willing to listen to them because it is a give and take. Like,
yeah.
I know with my clients, it's like, you know, when I walk in, I'll ask my clients, okay, what do you feel like doing today?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like legs, but I'm really in the mood to do chest. All right, let's do chest then.
Cool. Pump
you know,
it up.
Now granted, if I feel a need to do something, I may kind of overrule them, but there's a damn good reason for it.
Right.
And I explain it so they usually roll with me because
yeah.
they have that trust.
Because they trust you.
And it's got to be a trust. And
that's
you know,
major.
It is a major thing. And,
yeah.
and not only that, you're paying this person. So,
yeah.
you know, if you're paying someone and they're not showing up and they're not giving you the results that you want, you know, say something. Be
yeah.
diligent because at the end of the day, that's good money you're spending.
Hell yes.
And I'm very, very particular
you
on
want
that
results.
Because I don't want
mm-hmm.
to be labeled in that grouping of
mm-hmm.
trainers that are just taking your money and not giving results. And
yeah.
you have a bad experience because that's not how we all are.
Word of mouth is everything.
It is everything. So hopefully
yeah.
that helps you a little bit.
Hopefully that does help. You got to get somebody. Listen, the reason I love Dave is because Dave has a great heart, but he'll always tell you, listen, get your ass over there and let's get it moving. When Victor gets his training, he's like, yo, Dave wants me to do 8 sets of what? So Dave, just get a trainer that's going to push you. In my opinion, I think you got to get somebody that's going to push you and somebody that's not going to do your lazy shit.
But in a way
straight
that's
up.
Positive.
Because, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because the problem is, too, is some of these trainers, they again, like I said, and I'm not calling anybody out, but at the end of the day, you know, we have a job to do as your trainer. We are personal trainers. So take that first word, personal. You know, when you go to a psychologist, you go to a therapist, you're going for that person to help you
That's
and get past
analogy.
A certain, you know, thing that you're going through in life. You don't expect them to yell at you and put you down and demean you. So if you got a trainer that's doing that and making you feel like garbage and really not being positive and not giving the communication that you need to understand why they're doing what they're doing, fire them. Fire them.
Just get out of there.
And get out. Because you know what? That's not the way it should be.
Just get up out of there. She said, number two, how much exercise do you need to get lasting health benefits?
Let me tell you what, if I could answer that question right now, we wouldn't be sitting here. Me and Tosh would be sitting in the Bahamas at Bahamar. Shout out to Bahamar. We need some plane tickets and we need a suite for Tasha Makia and Big Dave. Okay, we're rolling down there in February. Hook us up.
And I need some oiled up men fan.
The Hyatt Bahamar Rosewood. And we will bring Victor with us too because Victor makes this happen. So we need three tickets, three rooms for a week, all expenses. All right, so there you go, Bahamar. But anyway, real talk. You know what? Honestly, I kind of can't answer that question.
That's kind of hard.
It is a hard question to answer.
How much exercise do you need?
How much exercise do you need?
Lasting health benefits.
So let's put it this way. We've talked before on the show about how we've started working out and how we start this whole journey.
Right.
So I'm going to kind of, honestly, I think that using Tasha as a great example and a plateau to start with, because she's going to be kind of starting from scratch again, which you are. So that being said, I think that starting on the bike and a little bit of cardio to kind of get you going, work with a little PT action, kind of stretching out and things like that, and then get into the weights and slowly progressing into the weight training and, you know, adding a little bit more cardio and then getting the food in check and the supplements in check. And those progressive steps is going to be the key. So how long it takes you to see the changes and how long it takes you to be in the zone that you want to be in is all really individualized.
Whereas
Tasha may start feeling amazing second, third week into recovery and we could get cleared to start doing weights, but then some people can't do anything for 8 to 10 weeks because their back and stuff isn't healing properly and their body's just not responding the way it should. So again, not to avoid the question, but hopefully that kind of answered it the best way. And it is very different. So you know, a lot of factors come into play too. Your injuries, your food, your water intake, your supplementation, what you've done in the past. So, you know, hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of a staple to work with.
Perfect, perfect. Well, today we have a fast forward, Big Dave.
We're talking too much.
No, we're not. I just want you to know, don't be coming at my neck because we ain't got the five. So fast forward today with Big Dave. Number one, can I remain a big girl and have a flat stomach?
Are we talking like a thick girl or like a big girl?
Well,
we're not laughing at your question because I saw Lizzo last night on the AMAs, okay?
You what?
Lizzo.
I love
Lizzo. And I do too. And she is very talented. And you know, to be honest with you, what's funny is they were talking about this purse that she had.
Okay.
And shout out to Flipboard. Tasha hates Flipboard. And
I don't hate
someone
it.
I know very, very much and loves very much hates Flipboard because I'm always talking news. We won't say anyone in particular because I always have my news with me. But she had this purse that was literally the size of a water bottle cap. And she said she had tampons, condoms, and lipstick in that purse.
All those three things. Just that.
The purse was the size of a water cap.
There's no way.
Okay.
First of all.
So you have to look this up now. Everybody go look it up because it was all over social media. But
what?
So we got on that topic because Liz was a thick girl, obviously.
Right.
We all know that. But, and you know, shout out to our thick girls because thick is beautiful just as much as thin.
Yes, girl.
Too.
Well, but I did see the photo of this girl. This was a DM.
Okay.
So she's a beautiful thick girl.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Girl.
Yeah,
right.
And she wants to stay juicy because that's what her guy likes. And you can see it all over her page. He loves her. But she wants to have a snatched, as she referred to, waist.
What?
A snatched waist.
Snatched
she wants
waist.
Her waist to be nice and flat.
Okay.
So can you do that, being a big girl and then having a tight waist?
You know, when you're thicker in all the right places, thicker than a snicker that we always
thicker
like to say.
Thicker than a snicker.
And shout out to you for owning yourself and being positive.
She's beautiful.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as you're happy with what you have, that's all that matters. And you know, you mentioned that you're doing this for your man. That's all well and good, but do it for you and then let everyone else benefit from your positivity. But so my point being said is, yes, you can get a flatter stomach, but, and I say this very gingerly,
but
It is going to be hard when you're very, very thick to have a flat stomach, because a lot of women tend to see to get that fupa sometimes.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit of an area up on top of that lower abdominal that sits over the,
it's like a butt in front.
The privates where the endometriosis sits. And if you have that. So that being said, you know, you're not going to be flat per se, but you definitely will be more shaped and more contoured, I guess is the best word.
I get
So I think that to answer your question, will you be flat? Probably not, because using thick and flat in the same sentence is kind of hard.
Yeah, but maybe if you got surgery. I've seen girls that are super juicy.
A waist trainer would be good.
Waist trainer
would be great to start with, because that'll help shrink
that makes sense.
That midsection. But again, you got to remember, flat and thick don't roll in the same sentence. Like, I was driving down the hill, and it was really thick, but then it got flat.
You know what?
That doesn't make sense.
We're going to move on.
Yeah, number two.
So he's on timeout today. Why does the scale show my weight as being heavier, but my body fat is less?
That's a great question.
Wow. That's
good question.
I used to feel like that. I'm a burrito right now, for now. But
you got chorizo in a burrito.
I'm full of chorizo, okay?
Got some potatoes and some jamon in that burrito.
And a little bit of chili.
That's a great question.
So why does the scale show my weight as being heavier, but my body fat is less?
Okay, so what I'm going to say back in rebuttal to that question is, who the hell cares what the scale says then?
You know what? You're right, and that's because this is your livelihood, and you're just so freaking amazing at what you do.
But
I'm going to tell you, that scale would give me the big middle
finger.
Trust
me, it does me too.
And it used to, all the work I would do, and then I step on that shit, and then it tells me that, and I feel so sad.
Right, because you're relying on a number to make that gratification stick.
Yeah.
It's almost like someone on social media looking at the likes and they don't get enough, and then they do something stupid to get more, and that usually means they're taking off their clothes and shit like that. So we ain't doing that. I ain't taking my clothes off unless you like do something cool for us. Bahamar again, that's you.
Unbelievable.
But no, seriously, I think that if you're comfortable with not caring about a number on the scale, then you're right on par, because your body fat percentage is more something let me rephrase that. Your body fat percentage is going to be more accurate than the scale number it would be. Because the scale number is going to be affected by food.
Right.
By water.
Uh-huh.
By that time of the month.
Yeah.
Stress levels.
Yeah.
All those things that we've spoken about are obviously going to affect your weight level on the scale.
Okay.
Okay. Now, your body fat percentage, when you do a BMR, a basal metabolic read, okay, is going to tell you what your body fat is going to be.
Okay.
So if the body fat is lower, that means that basically you're doing good in the sense of you're burning calories the right way.
Right.
So you're burning body fat, not muscle.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
So your body fat percentage is going down. Now, if you're so concerned about those numbers matching up, sometimes it's very difficult to do because, like you said, the scale is showing one number. The body fat number showing another.
Yeah.
So clearly you're happy with the body fat number, but you're not happy with the scale. So you got to try and kind of tune yourself to get to the point where the scale number really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself in certain clothes or a swimsuit or something, you're really confident. You feel really good about that because the body fat is talking then, not the scale.
Right.
So if someone is 220 pounds and their body fat's 3%, they're going to look pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Okay, now some people may think 220 pounds is very big, but it really isn't, depending on the type of person and their stature
their
and
build,
all that.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes into those three body types we talked about in our podcast with endo, ecto, and meso.
Yeah.
So just because you may have a mesomorph physique doesn't mean you still can't have very low body fat. So just because the scale shows a weight that maybe you don't feel confident and comfortable at, but the body fat is still low, you're doing really good.
You're still popping.
So stay positive, and that number will catch up sooner than later, but don't be so fixated on just the scale number. Really keep focusing on that body fat number. So good job. You're doing really good.
So let me ask you, when you started your gains, because Dave is humongous, okay, did the scale ever get on your nerves?
Yeah, and it still does.
And how do you work yourself out of that?
I don't think you really ever do, because it's kind of like the exercise dysmorphia we spoke about.
Yeah.
Having that kind of like, if you're too small, you freak out. If you're too big, you freak out.
Dude.
Yeah, so it's like it's constantly on your brain. But
that's
I think that, you know, I think for me personally, I finally got to that point where there wasn't really anything I could do about it.
Right.
I'm eating the food. I'm training the way I'm supposed to. I'm resting the way I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
I got to kind of let my body take
just
its course. It's good to do, because you guys got to understand something and remember this out of everything. the body's the fastest adapting machine in the world. So if you cut yourself,
okay,
or you fall down and bust your ass, mm-hmm, which I do a lot because I'm old now.
You are not,
you know,
old.
You don't respond as quick. You don't recover as quick, if
right,
you notice.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, you know, you have to do the measures to get yourself back faster than you normally would because the body doesn't heal as fast as it
right
does. So it's the same thing with the body. You could give the body the best food, the best cardio, the best workouts, and still be banging your head against the wall going, why the hell am I not getting the results that I
mm-hmm
want? Trust me, they will come.
To stay consistent.
It's just a patient and that's the best word, consistency. Because the body's going to try and fight you.
Yeah.
Okay, and the body's going to try and say, wait a minute, we don't want to go run 30 miles today,
ugh,
which that is just hell to even think about.
I wish I could.
But, you know, it's one of those things that once your body starts to adapt with the training that you're doing,
mm-hmm,
and it gets in check with everything,
yeah,
then it's just smooth
it's
sailing.
Going.
But then you got to kind of get into that that realm, and this is something we're going to talk about in future podcasts, about really mixing it up and really making the body start
so
guessing on things,
yeah,
so you don't plateau.
That
exactly
makes
sense.
And
mm-hmm we can kind of go into that more when we're doing your journey.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, obviously if you're sitting on the stupid recumbent bike for 30 minutes every day,
yeah,
it's monotonous as hell. You can only watch Disney Plus so much.
First of all, Disney Plus is popping.
Disney Plus is popping.
And you might have to crank that sucker up a little more and put that resistance up.
But you see what I'm saying? It's going to
yeah
be monotonous, you know? And that being said, that's where it comes into our job as
yeah
your trainer to be very,
creative,
very, you know,
and, yeah,
involved and really mix it up
yeah
to give your body what it needs to start really changing and making those changes
yeah
to adapt to the recovery that
so
we need to do.
So that you can get your results
exactly
that you need.
Exactly.
Last thing, how long does muscle memory hold on to the memory? This one's for me. So
that's
I remember
question
you had said to me before, yeah, don't worry, you'll snap back. You have muscle memory. This memory has like
fallen. You're like, your muscle memory.
Free falling.
What is that disease that you get where you can't remember anything?
Yeah, that's
amnesia.
What I have.
Your muscle memory has amnesia right
brother,
now.
Okay.
It's just laying there. Ah.
So what?
He's laying there with a wrapper on his head.
All right, damn. He's got to keep digging on me. So how long does your body?
Believe it or not, it lasts pretty long
really?
Because it's like riding a bicycle. You know, it's like when you get on a bike. You know, you get on a bike, you're like, oh shit, you know, I remember this right back in the day. And then you bust your ass. You're like, okay, it goes back to what
too
we talked about in number two. Your
yeah
recovery is shit.
Yeah.
You know, so what's funny is that, you know, you got to relate it to like literally something rudimentary that you used to do when you were little. Riding a bicycle, you know, jumping rope.
Yeah.
All things that we just despise when we're older and just think horribly about.
I was good
about
at jumping rope last
well, of
year.
Of course you were. Most women are good at jumping rope.
I had a good rhythm and everything. Now it's like,
well,
one
most
step
women, yeah.
Right,
so think about it like that. So the muscle memory, it does, the body does remember weight training and resistance training,
mm,
just like it does when you look at a bicycle. It's like, okay, I haven't been on a bike in 20 years.
Right.
But when you get on it, it's just like you were on it
it's
yesterday.
Like you're on,
right. Depending on how it fits
okay
and how it feels and all that kind of stuff.
Sense.
We're not talking like a spin bike that rides up your ass and it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
If especially
we're talking about
a
like
pony,
a banana seat, like with a horn and like ding, 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 ding. Yeah. One of those
is
bikes.
Is that what you got at home?
I had one of those, but then I broke it because I fell off the front and I didn't get
you
a bike
I'm
no more.
I'm done with you.
But honestly, to answer your question, it does stay around a long time. The exact number, I can't tell you because, again, it's an individualized thing. And
yeah
it really depends
but
on how.
But if I waited years, like
well,
maybe
yeah,
5, 10 years.
5 years, yeah. No, you're going to still have
done
it because
oh,
a lot of guys, like,
it.
And it's funny because most men, their muscle memory comes back pretty quick before women
do. That's not
fair. Because, like, if you got a guy, let's say you had a guy that graduated high school, he's an athlete all his life,
uh-huh,
and then he gets out of shape. And he kind of has a body that maybe is not what he wants, and he's a little bit heavier than he wants to be. Usually when he gets back in the gym, if he's been consistent in the gym all his high school
it
time
melts
and college time, it usually adapts pretty quick and comes back pretty quick. Sometimes women, just because of the metabolism issue that a lot of women sometimes can have, it takes them a little bit longer. But it's not to say it doesn't come back
but you gotta
fast
stay consistent,
too.
Like you said.
But you do have to stay consistent because that body will start to remember the resistance training that you used to do.
Yeah.
And it'll start to snap back quite a bit.
Okay, I believe it. Even though he just went in on me. All right, so if you have any topics or conversations you would like for us to have on Big Dave's Power Half Hour, email us at bigdavespowerhalfhour@gmail.com. We'll get back to you, man. We're up out of here. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Big Dave's Power Half Hour. Dave, anything you want
to
say?
We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for everything, always.
Love you guys.
Follow Big Dave's Power Half Hour on social media at Big Dave's Power Half Hour. Join us next week for another episode dedicated to getting you healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's Big Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha Makia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.